Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to another service here from our Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. Please join us in the Zoom service right after this. You can find a link to that in your e-newsletter or weekly update. We're going to be doing the burning bowl ceremony today. Mm-hmm. So join us for that. It'll be explained more in the Zoom service, and we look forward to having you being part of that. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence, active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. Now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, January the 2nd. The key word is clarity, and the affirmation is, time spent communing with God gives me clarity. When I gaze towards the heavens on a moonlit night, I expect to see twinkling stars and constellations. But if I use a telescope, I can see details with much greater clarity. This example could describe my spiritual life as well. I may go about my day mindful of my blissful feelings and kinship with all of the people. These things are more and more are the fruits of my faith. But I find clarity during times of intentional contemplation. When I meditate upon the truth, I feel the presence of God fill my consciousness and touch my heart. This clarity informs my thoughts, words, and actions, bringing my faith to vivid life. The scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 13:12, and it reads, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, wow, new year, 2022. You know, those of us who've been around for a while, probably, you know, back in the 60s, somebody had said 2022 to you, you would have just, you know, thought that was a whole nother time and space. But here we are, you know, it seems like just yesterday we were celebrating the new year, you know, 2021, and hoping it was going to be better than, you know, what we experienced in 2020. And in some ways, it was, with new discoveries in science to help us, you know, through this pandemic, the expansion of the use of technology, you know, Zoom has really expanded and other platforms have come up, you know, to increase our ability to communicate with whomever we wanted, you know, no matter where we were located. There was no more excuses about, you know, I can't get to the meeting today because of snow or whatever, because we could attend a meeting anywhere, anytime. And in some ways, it was just more of the same in terms of the continued unrest in humanity that included, you know, the political turmoil and the divide, which caused the divide in this country. And I believe that the continuation of the coronavirus probably, you know, as it keeps coming up in its different variations, it's just the universe telling us that we still just don't get it. You know, we still have work to do to get to the place in consciousness where we need to be able to decipher the difference between truth and turmoil. You know, living from truth as opposed to living from turmoil. And this is evident in all the turmoil and social unrest in this country and in the world. So those of us who believe that we're on a spiritual path need to constantly become aware of new strategies. We talked about that last week. You know, new strategies, new spiritual practices to awaken ourselves from the illusions that bind us to false belief systems. And, you know, I was having a talk with my grandson about this idea of what it takes to, you know, make this shift in consciousness. And the indigenous people have practices and rituals that they use to help create a shift in consciousness. Some of them too challenging for us to even imagine. There's a TV series that Pam and I was watching, and there was an episode where the Lakota people were trying to teach a non-First Nation person how to break free of his illusions of fear. And that idea of non-First Nation, you know, we used to call them Indians, and then we went to Native Americans. But when Pam and I were doing the Northern Park national trips and we talked with some of them, they preferred to be called First Nation people. So they were working with a non-First Nation person who was married to one of them to help him break, you know, from his illusions of fear. And they told him that he had to experience ablatia. And I looked that word up, and boy, there's a ton of different pronunciations for it. But this is what the word looks like, okay? And it literally translates to crying for a vision. So hable means vision or dream, and asia means cry, all right? So hyblasia is a vision quest that lasts 2 to 3 days, okay? And the way the Lakota people practice it, you're taken somewhere out in the wilderness by yourself, and you're out there for 2 to 4 days with no water, no food, you know, just going through this process. And it lasts, you know, that long depending on what you're trying to work out in your spirit. So the idea being that when something good is trying to happen, something bad is trying to prevent it from happening. And typically this occurs when we are trying to make that shift to a new way of thinking and being, but find our old self fighting that shift. So that's what they mean. When something good is trying to happen, you're finding yourself making some, you know, some headway in moving towards living a more spiritually directed life. But those old ways that they're calling it something bad kicks in and tries to stop us from making that shift in consciousness. Okay. You know, and as we say, the ego is not letting us jump out of the ego. All right. So the Lakota guide told the non-First Nation person that the only safe place to be in a time of transition is within his inner prayer sanctuary. So when you're trying to make these shifts, you know, you're praying, you're trying to make these shifts in consciousness, that is a safe place to be, because that something bad that's trying to happen is not part of that process, okay? This is the place Jesus talked about in Matthew 6:6. He says, "But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father." All right? So this is your inner prayer sanctuary that Jesus is talking about, where when it is developed through daily prayer practice, your ego will have no power to enter into it. So in essence, your inner prayer sanctuary is the place within you where you can shut the door, leaving your ego out. That force that would try to stop you from making those spiritual shifts that you're trying to make. However, when you come out of your prayer sanctuary, that is when you have to be aware of the wolves. And again, that's what the Lakota people talk about, the idea of the wolves. And they say, First Nation person was telling about its experience. He kept seeing this white wolf show up. And they were saying that we are also part wolf, okay? That part wolf is that part of us that's trying to devour, you know, any spiritual enlightenment we might achieve in prayer. So what they were saying is when you come out of your prayer circle, you come out of your prayer sanctuary, you have to be aware of the wolves that are going to seek to devour your spiritual enlightenment, you know, the part of you that evolved in that prayer. And again, the wolf being the thoughts of fear of our old life, our old ways of being, okay, trying to devour the new spiritual life we're striving to become. So this can become a scary process for us, that being trying to evolve spiritually while at the same time trying to let go of our old self. So the Lakota people say that the hyblasia vision quest, that, you know, and that you must be willing to stand on the cliff of death in order to receive the vision of your true purpose in life. Okay, It is the only place, they say, where you can see it. And during this spiritual transformative, you know, quest that you're going through, you'll be surprised as you're going through this spiritual. And, you know, we have our own ways of going through this spiritual quest. But they're saying is that you'll be surprised how quickly you will replay in your mind all the moments in your life. And then when you are without regret to ponder, when you have no more regrets to ponder, you have no more fantasies to embrace, what will come to you will depend on how hard you prayed and how much you are willing to let go. So this is a process, and it was really, for Pamela and I, watching that TV series, it really brought it to light about how much committed we had to be to making this spiritual transition. This idea of standing on the cliff of death that they talked about was expressed by Paul in Corinthians 15:31 when he said, I die daily, okay? He said, I'm standing on this cliff of death daily, you know, trying to let this old self go. The idea of being willing to release and let go of the ways of the old self in order to create within yourself the space for the new self to evolve. And this requires a constant effort to let go of the old to make room for the new, to create new wineskins to accept new wine. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, our practice has been to try to put new wine into the same old wineskins. And we may be finding this hasn't really been working out the way we hoped it would. Trying to make a spiritual shift by staying as we are. That's the idea of trying to put new wine into old wineskins. Right? You can only put new wine into new wineskins, and that's what prayer and meditation does, is preparing those new wineskins to accept this new wine or these new divine ideas. So the question for each of us to ponder as we enter into 2022 is how much are we willing to let go of in our quest for spiritual enlightenment? How much are we willing to let go of? Remember last week we were saying there's things we need to let out of us. So how much are we willing to let out of us in our quest for spiritual enlightenment? Well, read these words with me from the song, I Release and I Let Go. It says, there was a time in my life I thought I had to do it all by myself. And I didn't know that the grace of God was sufficient. I didn't know the love of God was at hand. But now I can say that if I am discouraged, struggling to just make it through another day, I just got to let it go, let it all go. So I release and I let go. I let the Spirit run my life and my heart is open wide. And I'm sharing with you in the Zoom session right after this. We have a really powerful song that I'm looking forward to sharing with everybody on that, the idea of I release and I let go. So think about it. When we hear that song, we're inspired to sing it with feeling and gusto. It was designed to raise our hearts and minds to a level where we can truly believe it is possible to let go of the old self to make room for the new self. But when the singing stops and the music stops, then what? Can we carry through what we sang that we are willing to do? Okay, we believe it as we're singing it. But when that music stops and those words stop, you know, the music and all that, can we really carry through? And that is a question we all have to ponder. Because as the Lakota people explain in the Hiblatia Vision Quest, you must be willing to stand on the cliff of death in order to receive the vision of your purpose in life. And to explain again, the cliff of death is a metaphor for letting go of the old self to be able to embrace the new self. So now let's switch. Okay, we're talking about what we have to do in terms of this idea of letting go. I'm going to switch to a slightly different topic, which is what we need to understand in this process of, you know, answering the question of how long will it take? Okay, so we're gonna begin to talk about that and look at the idea of that it is possible that time, because we ask the question, how long is it going to take for me to make this shift from the old self to the new self? Well, time may be the culprit that's delaying our spiritual progress. See, we may have a one day I will get around to attitude. One day I'll get around to attitude. Somebody says, well, do you pray or do you meditate? Well, yeah, one day I'll get around to it. Whatever it is, you know, we have a tendency, one day I'll get around to it. We have that attitude. You know, this get around to attitude can very well be unconscious. You know, we might be saying it, and on the other hand, it also could be unconscious. But the ego is a great procrastinator when it comes to the discipline of spiritual practices. Okay? And this is the time of year when many begin planning how we're going to use our time in the coming new year. You know, some may be thinking, you know, what I do, this is what I want to do in the new year. This is what I want to accomplish in 2022. And some may be thinking, ask themselves, what do I want to stop doing in 2022? Okay? And that stop doing is kind of the process of letting go. Okay? This is the time of year for grandiose dreams and wishes. And you know the slogan, you know, we use. This year I'm really going to, all right, and you fill in the blank, all right. And yes, this is a good time of year, you know, to have dreams, you know, really big dreams. And most of us live very busy and complex lives, even despite the pandemic. Right? It might have slowed us down for a minute, but some of us still are very, very busy. Right? So it might be helpful to have some sort of system to help us manage our spiritual life as we strive to accomplish our dreams. Because a lot of our dreams are external. So we got to figure out how do we manage also some internal work as we are also striving for these external goals. So in addition to the technology or technological wonder we use to help us bring our lives and our goals into alignment with our clock and our calendar, you know, most of us wear watches that are very complex and keep track of everything you're doing, constantly reminding you of what is the next thing to do or the next meeting or the next whatever, all right, on keeping track of you. So let's explore some ideas on the advantages of learning how to live according to divine time and a divine plan. Okay? And this will help us with the spiritual side of our development. All the external technology we use for other things is helping us with our external development. We're looking at using divine time and divine planning. All right. So divine time is sort of a misnomer because in truth, there is no time in the realm of the divine, okay? But time is a very real part of our lives. And for us to feel grounded, we need to have a sense of time and place, right? So from our human perspective, we need to have a sense of time and place, especially if we also want to add into the ingredients the fulfillment of our spiritual goals as they relate to the notion of letting go of the old to be able to embrace the new. So even in scripture, terminology is used to indicate the fulfillment of a goal or a completion of a process of letting go. Even though metaphysically, time in scripture has a different meaning from our day-to-day use of time. So let me just show you this example. You know, it says that Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. Noah and crew experienced rain for 40 days and 40 nights. The Israelites wandered for 40 years. Moses with the Lord on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights receiving the Ten Commandments. And Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? So time is spoken of in Scripture. Each one of these examples expresses the time it took to complete the task of letting go of the old in order to be able to embrace the new. So something much greater than physical time and physical task is being expressed in these biblical examples. So beyond the physical time that we are so engrossed in, there is divine time. Physical time merely indicates how much time has passed, while divine time indicates that while time was passing, transformation was taking place. Letting go was happening. Consciousness was being changed and it was being changed significantly. So that is the basis of this lesson. We have a tendency to use time as a barometer to indicate when certain predefined results should occur. Okay, things should happen by this time. All right? Even in the church, we have a strategic plan of what we hope will happen by a certain time. Okay? And if the results we expect and demand do not occur by the designated time, we often assume failure of some sort. And it's really interesting in these times because we've been seeing that, you know, you designate something that's going to happen, and boom, before you know it, changes have been happening. And we're here, we're getting reports of Unity churches who have opened and been open, and now they are closing again because of this new variant that's out there. So this is an interesting time, a time for using time to try to get an understanding of what we can accomplish in our lives. But, you know, we're often disappointed and discouraged when that happens. You can see on the news how different parts of the country are talking about being disappointed by this new thing that's happening now. So we're often disappointed and discouraged and sometimes even angry, okay? Divine time, however, is not locked into the events of the physical realm. Let me say that again. Divine time is not locked into the events of the physical realm. Right? Let me just let you follow this as I'm expressing it. So divine time is the amount of experience that is needed to bring about a significant transformation, a change in a person's consciousness that comes from his or her soul. So divine time cannot be calibrated or equated to physical time. The experience of divine time is different for everyone because it depends on an individual's resistance or acceptance of being changed and being changed deeply. Right? So the frustration we experience when trying to achieve certain goals is that we quite often the timetable that we have set for achieving our goals does not adequately take into account enough time for us to grow sufficiently in consciousness to be ready to experience the results that we are looking for. Right? So in each of the biblical examples, the same number, 40, seemed to be, was used to indicate a specific amount of time. Sometimes it was applied to days and nights, and sometimes it was applied to years. But the number 40 remained consistent. This is because metaphysically, 40 is not a number with the same numeric significance that we usually give it. In the Bible, in Scripture, the number 40 is symbolic. It symbolizes the amount of time that is needed for our spiritual process to be completed, and usually that process has to do with a change in consciousness that's needed before the person is ready for the next phase of his or her spiritual transformation. So our goals usually have to do with performing a series of tasks. You know, we have all kinds of instruments that we use to track our, you know, trying to complete this particular task. But we can be quite content performing these tasks without experiencing the accompanying change in consciousness is necessary for true growth to occur. So if you get what I'm saying, we can be going through these different steps in that we have written down for ourselves, or, you know, a to-do list or whatever, to get a task done, whatever that task may be. But we might not be experiencing a change in consciousness that's necessary for true growth to occur. However, a change in consciousness that comes from releasing old thinking is the intrinsic nature of divine time. Right? Divine timing is about life-changing tasks, tasks that are connected to goals that have the potential to create a significant positive transformation in your mind, body, heart, and soul. Tasks that are significantly will alter your consciousness. Okay? So the key idea to be grasped in this lesson is that there can be a tremendous difference between the time it takes to complete a series of tasks to reach your physical goals compared to the time it takes to experience a change in consciousness that will truly bring you closer to realizing the truth about who you really are. So the rewards that come in divine time are much greater and more significant and permanent than those that come in physical time. But divine time demands a lot more patience as well as a willingness to commit to stick with the consciousness-changing challenges that are put before you. So what that's saying is that when you're out there and you're trying to do your thing and you're working in divine timing, stuff's going to come up. Physical time, we try to avoid and figure out how to get around that stuff. Divine time helps you to understand that you need to go through this stuff in order to bring about this significant change in consciousness. Now, the Lakota people, and to repeat what they say that the Hyblacia vision quest, you must be willing to stand on the cliff of death in order to receive the vision of your true purpose in life. So additionally, in divine time, you cannot achieve or acquire that which is not yours by right of consciousness. So in physical time, we're saying, well, I put in all of this, and why am I not getting that which I am struggling, you know, striving for? But divine timing is different. It helps you to understand that you, you know, cannot achieve or acquire that which is not yours by right of consciousness. And right of consciousness referring to having done the transformative work necessary to be mentally and spiritually ready to receive the transformation that you are striving for. And so often what we yearn for is beyond what we are really ready for, meaning we have not yet developed the discipline, the commitment, the fortitude to embrace all that goes with the attainment of our wants and desires. In Dr. Louise Hart's book, On the Wings of Self-Esteem, this is what she says. She says, we should not hurry. We should not be impatient, but we should confidently obey the eternal rhythm. Okay? So let me repeat those words. We should confidently obey the eternal rhythm. So being in the right consciousness embraces our ability to obey the eternal rhythm. And when we are not in the right consciousness, we have a tendency to disobey the eternal rhythm by consciously or unconsciously saying no to the growth opportunity that is put before us, or being impatient, trying to rush past the steps and the experiences necessary for us to grow in awareness of the divine potential trying to unfold within us. Okay, so a lot of things we go through, especially those who've been studying for a while, can look back and say, wow, it's because I went through that that I am here today, or I was able to do this, or I evolved into that, or whatever. Pam and I talk about all the time about if we had stayed in New York, the experiences that we would have had there would have made us very different people from the experiences we have had when we moved from New York and went through some very challenging times and brought us to the place that we are today. So that's the thing about divine time, is that it's, you got to be conscious of the fact that maybe what you're going through is what you need to go through in order for the divine potential that you're looking for to unfold within you. So when you find yourself in the right place at the right time, only you can know if you are ready in consciousness to receive the benefits of the impending opportunity that is before you. Only you will know if you are in a yes, I can mindset or a no, I cannot mindset. Okay. So goal setting, life planning, the discovery of a mission or purpose for your life requires the capacity of faith to say yes to yourself and yes to the opportunities that will come your way. Right? We read in 2 Corinthians 1:17, that Paul asked himself this question. He says, was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? And think to yourself, things that are in front of you, things you say you're going to do in 2022 that you may not have accomplished in 2021. You think, he says, was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, meaning according to his ego, his intellect? You know, and he says, when you make your plans according to the flesh, you're ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time. Okay? you know, you're one moment you say, oh, yes, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you find out all that it takes. You're like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. It's like when the Lakota people said to the non-First Nation person or the non-Lakota person, you know, this is what you need to go through. He was saying, I don't know if I can do that. Okay. And he also said, I don't know if I really believe that this is going to make the changes in me that I need. And they said to him, you may not know, but we know. And he said, your wife knows because she understands how this indigenous process works. All right. And so that's the key for us is you're operating by divine timing and divine planning. You know, you begin to realize that you don't know, but you're open and receptive. You're willing to step forward and see how this process unfolds. So the most important lesson we have to learn when working with spirit is that our main responsibility is to remain open, receptive, and obedient to our inner guidance. And when we have the faith and the courage to obey our inner guidance, the end result is no longer our responsibility. Let me say that again. When we have the faith and the courage to obey our spiritual guidance, the end result is no longer our responsibility. Because when we become attuned to the eternal rhythm within us, the end result we seek will take care of itself. Right? So this coming new year, 2022, let's make a vow to do the work necessary to let go of the burdens of our ego that are preventing us from developing our spiritual consciousness. Now, by default, we're going to work on the demands of our ego self. All right, let me just say that again. By default, we're going to work on the demands of our ego self. No matter how much we say we're going to work on these spiritual practices, we're also going to be working on the demands of our ego self. We can't help it where we are. We won't be able to stop that process. But what we are committing ourselves to is to also taking the time to work on our spiritual goals and strategies to get in touch with that aspect of our being that is ready and willing to say yes to God. Because by doing so, we will open ourselves up to the divine guidance, which will lead us to fulfilling our greatest dreams and aspirations. And finally, I'm going to leave you with this quote from Abraham Maslow. He says, the most fortunate are those who have a wonderful capacity to appreciate again and again, freshly and naively, the basic good in life with awe, pleasure, wonder, and ecstasy. And so it is. And Happy New Year to everyone. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Today our meditation is called the Altar of Light. So now this is our time to relax our bodies and minds and focus on the breath. So take a deep breath in and breathe out. Breathe in again and slowly out. Maintain your rhythmic breathing and feel your body and mind go a little deeper into that quiet place within. You may close your eyes or take a gaze downward. In the Science of Mind for December 21st, 2021, it reads, this is the solstice, the still point of the sun, its cusp and midnight, the year's threshold and unlocking, where the past lets go of and becomes the future. The place of caught breath. Ernest Holmes writes, if we could give up our diseases, offer them on the altar of faith to the giver of life, we would be healed. It's not easy to release our troubles. We are prone to linger with them. But by effectual and fervent prayer, we gradually lose false thought into its native nothingness. God is perfect life, and when we enter this light, we are healed. Please take the following words as your own. I stand in your goodness, Holy Spirit, at the entrance to another year. The old year is rolling into eternity, and there is no looking back, as did Lot's wife. Yes, there might be words that I wish I had not spoken, moments I wish I could set right. Acts may have been committed that I have a desire to undo. However, the beginning of another year has begun, and with it, the assurance that God is here to make victorious where I was defeated, strong where I was weak, and faith-filled where I was fearful. I image a beautiful altar made of light. I go to this altar and leave all I no longer need or want on it. Today is my day to let go and let God. When I am finished putting all my pain, the terrible memories, the shame, the guilt, everything that I no longer need on the altar, watch the altar of light absorb it all. I watch it become light. Now I look down and see a shallow pool of beautiful light at my feet. I step in and let the light fill me up. I let it fill all the spaces that once held the stuff I just left behind. Precious Lord of my being, give me this day discernment and enlightenment that I may be your perfect vessel of love in this world. Help me shed my fears, my doubts, and my limitations. Lift me up in your love that I may hold fast to all the wonderful promises you have given me. I now let go and let your perfect work be done in me now, so I may change my world and in turn change the world. And so for the next few moments, let's be in the stillness. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning. You have answered them, as you always do. And now, when you feel complete, step out of the pool and return to your surroundings. We thank you, gracious Spirit, in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen.
And now we come to the time when we are opening our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our lives to flow into our spiritual home. And we continue to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you have been sending to keep Unity Center of Light growing and unfolding and able to bring these wonderful lessons to you. And we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. Now you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, January the 2nd. The Courage to Imagine and White Stone Ceremony is Sunday, January the 9th at 10:30 with Reverend Michelle Senegal and special music with Jimmy Stewart. What are you brave enough to imagine for your life in 2022? Now is the time of year to review our commitments to our spiritual family. Take some reflection time to review the commitment form and decide how you would like to support Unity Center of Light with your time, talent, and treasure. Please check your updates and e-newsletter for details. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
And now we will bless the path that we will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and gusto.
Together. Right. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. And now our prayer for protection. Together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. All right. So it's been wonderful bringing you this service today. Again, we look forward to seeing you in the Zoom right off after this. We're going to be doing the burning bowl ceremony, and we know you'd love to be a part of that. So please join us then, and so we will see you in a few minutes. All right. Have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.